4, I'm going to read 3 verses. And that's what we're going to marinate on today. Philippians 4, verse 10. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be content, to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all to everything through him who gives me strength. May God, this is God's word for God's people, right? Know this truth, believe this, and live. You may be seated. Wow. I want to ask you to do something this morning. Each of you might have a paper that you can fill in, and if you're not big on filling in, at least fill this one question out for yourself. Are you content? What area of your life, are you finding yourself discontent with? Who is bringing discontent? What is bringing discontent into your life? Is it a trial that you're going through? Write it down. Going through this. Is it a person of opposition? Is it a place you find yourself today? Is it the unknown, the reality that you just don't know what is going to come, what God is doing, when he's going to work, answer this prayer, when this trial is going to be over? Is it just the unknown? Is it a place of confusion? Write it down. Make a note of it, because we didn't come here, I hope we didn't come here, to just check religious activity off our list for the week. I believe so desperately that God, you came here because you wanted to hear what God had to say to you. And so I've asked him to move me out of the way, and I trust he's going to work in our hearts in a very specific way. We are one of the most wealthy countries in the world. The United States of America. But we are not content as a nation. We see this in the high rate of consumer debt. You know, Lexington Law Firm reported that consumer debt amongst Americans rose 4.7% and has hit just below $4.2 trillion in September of 2020, according to the Federal Reserve. Collectively, Americans owe 10% of their disposable income to non-mortgage debts like car loans, credit cards, student loans, and personal loans. We live beyond our means because we aren't content. We live beyond our means because we are still trying to seek and find contentment in the things that we can gain from this world. And it is stressing us out. The debt load is stressing the American population out. It is creating its own anxiety. The very anxiety we don't want to have, we create. So we can see the lack of contentment in just consumer debt. We can also see this lack of contentment in the transiency of the American population. You know that people in America rarely stay at the same home or apartment for more than 5 years. The average American moves 11.7 times in their lifetime. According to the new census data, nearly 31 million people moved in the United States in 2019. That is 9.8, almost 10% of all Americans moving every year. If you take an average American household size of 2.3 people, this means that 15.3 million American households moved each year. We are looking for a bigger house, a better neighborhood, a bigger yard, a better school district, because we're not content with what we have. And then we pay for it. We pay for it by adding a bigger debt service that we have to manage. More stress, more anxiety that we have to work through every day. So we can see this in the high rate of consumer debt. We can see this in the transiency of American population. We can see the lack of contentment in America through the high divorce rates. You know that the American Psychological Association reported this year that 40 to 50% of married couples divorce. And here are some of the top reasons that married couples divorce. Money, lack of intimacy, infidelity, abuse, physical appearance of their spouse, addictions, lack of communication, physical appearance. These are the things that have been cited as some of the core reasons behind divorces. We can't develop happiness in our own marriages, so we trade our spouse for someone else, thinking it's going to fix it all. We're not content, and we pay for it. We pay for it with energy. We pay for it with money. We pay for it with legal fees. We pay for it with the stress. We pay for it over and over again with a long list of problems. And last, we see this, that America is not content in the pursuit of wealth. You know, we are spending money we cannot afford on lottery tickets. We're hoping to just win big, get the big payout. And check after check, we take a portion of our check and we put it hoping to win big. You know, according to North American Association of State and provincial lotteries, America spent a total of $73.5 billion on lottery tickets. They do that each year. And if you add electric gambling, you know, that's just traditional lottery tickets, it would be up to $80 billion. Man, what could we do with that as a nation, as a city, as a country? And we pay for it with having no money when we need it, not being able to help people around us who are struggling because we're wasting. We're wasting because we're not content. We're wasting because there's a root of discontent that we think will be found in wealth, that we think will be found in moving from one location to another, that we think will be found in stuff, that we think will be found if changing relationships. That we think will be found there, and it's not. There's still discontent in America because there is a fundamental problem where we as Americans are not focused on Christ. You know, in this book of the Bible, we've been hearing from a man who is in a Roman prison. He's on trial for his life in this prison, and it looks very bleak. He's basically waiting for the day of his execution. He's sitting in there, and he's writing this letter, as God inspires him, to this church in Philippi. And today he is telling us, as he sat in chains, locked up, confined, with looking forward to death, he tells us today how to find contentment. He tells us the secret of contentment. Now, this church at Philippi had just sent a gift to him. They weren't able to send a gift earlier. They just weren't able to. And if you look at this church at Philippi, you understand that this church gave out of their poverty. They were one of the only churches that supported Paul. So you know in their heart they desperately wanted to. Something must have, and because we know in Corinthians that this church gave out of their poverty, we know it must have been pretty bad when they couldn't give. So finally they were able to scrounge some money together, some help together to give it to Paul. And they probably were really happy with that. And so he sends this statement is a thank you to them for their gift. He wants them to know he's thankful. But he doesn't just stop there wanting them to know that he's thankful. He wants them to know he has not been discontent. He has not been discontent over this very difficult circumstance. He has not been discontent when they couldn't give, when they couldn't help, when they couldn't be there. He said, because I learned the secret of contentment. You're not the resource of my contentment. Thank you for being God, a tool in the hand of God. And we're going to look at that next week and how we can be a tool in the hand of God. But he's like, you're not my resource. So combined with the thank you letter, he gives them a gift of his own. He tells them the secret to contentment. Now, the word contentment comes from a Greek word that means self-sufficient or independent. But God is not talking about a self-sufficiency here. He's not talking about an independency here. He is talking about an independency, a separation from worldly resources of contentment, a dependency, a trusting in a sufficiency of the Lord. So really what this word is talking about here in context is that true contentment is to be satisfied in Christ. True contentment is to be satisfied in Christ. See, contentment is an inner peace that comes from being right with God and from trusting that he is in control of everything that happens to you. A content believer is focused on serving the Lord Jesus Christ, on building the kingdom of God, rather than building their own kingdom, rather than serving self-interests. Their focus is content. Their focus is stable. Their focus is secure, no matter what the circumstance is, because their focus is in an immovable reality. Immovable person, Jesus Christ. So their focus is content. They don't need to ride the roller coaster that you're riding, or that I rode many times, that I've rid. That roller coaster of emotions. Highs and lows. Happiness and sadness. That roller coaster that based on what is happening and based on what I have and or don't have determines my level of happiness and contentment. They don't have to ride the roller coaster, he's saying. I'm not riding the roller coaster. I'm content. So I want to ask you today, are you satisfied in Christ? As a man and woman of God, as a people who have trusted in Jesus Christ to be the personal Lord and Savior, are you satisfied right there? That doesn't mean that there's not sadness of loss, that there's not struggle in this world, but it does mean, are you satisfied in him? Are you drawing your resource of contentment from him? Do you believe you have everything you need in Christ Jesus right now? Or is there a doubt in that reality and a belief you still need something else? Yeah, God's good, Pastor Jamie. I love that he's good. I know that he's love. I know that he's there and he's present. I know all this, but I still need. You know, I always tell people that when and this happens a lot in marriage counseling, when we say, you know, you did the X, Y, Z, and then we use the but. We say, but, you know, that every time we say but, it's like wiping everything we just said before that right off. I love you, and you're good, and you're caring, but you're an idiot. I love that you're there for people, and I love that you're always a giving person, but I can't believe that you came late to the, you know, that but erases everything before it. So use in addition to that instead of but. Don't wipe it away. Say in addition to that, I could use you to help you grow in this area. But here's the main point I want you to see today. Because we want to eliminate the but. Yeah, God's good and God's this and not God's that, but it's dangerous where I live. I can't be content. Oh, God's faithful and God's good and he gave me his life and he's worth living for, but my career needs to occupy the majority of my time and I can't serve him. So, you know, I'm just not content. We need to wipe out this but today. And embrace the resource. So here's the main point. The main point is this: trust in the sufficiency of Christ, and you will experience true contentment. He says in verse 10, I rejoice greatly in the Lord. And this is the third time he's saying this. He says, I rejoice, and he gives that, he helps you understand where he's rejoicing. He says, in the Lord. But this time he adds another phrase, another word. Before he said, I just rejoice. Then he progressed to, I rejoice in the Lord. Now he says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord. See, what he's trying to say is, I keep trying to say, through all these things, with your anxiety and how you need to pray to trust him, with all your thinking and all your practicing, every time before he says a thing we ought to do, he says, I rejoice in the Lord. He's helping us see, look, your resource, the Lord of your life, the one who is able, that's who my focus is on. I rejoice in the Lord. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, it was you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret to being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. You know, one of the things that is clear here in this passage is that there was a need to learn. He says, I have learned the secret. There's need to learn how to be content in all circumstances. None of us probably in this room know how to do that. So let's learn today. He said he had to learn how to be content when he was in need, when times were difficult. I know what it is to be in need. And he said, I learned the secret on how to be content when I'm in need. See, in times of need, we're tempted to get our eyes off of Jesus Christ and get anxious. We're tempted to put all of our focus on circumstance, and then all of what we think needs to happen is a removal of circumstance, something that shifts, changes, because all of our contentment is rooted up in this circumstance changing. He says, I had to learn to be content when I was in need. And, you know, this requires something Paul did to have at one point that he had to learn. He had to have a heart of faith. Trusting in God for everything when there's nothing else to trust in. The second thing he said he needed to learn is he also said, I've learned how to be content in times of abundance. Now, the reason why this is important, and he talks about both sides, is he says, I'm not shifting. My contentment isn't shifting, whether things are good or things are bad. My contentment is not hinged on circumstantial realities. My content is rooted in a foundational reality. I know what it is to have plenty. See, in time of plenty, we're tempted to forget our need for the Lord. And then what we do in those places, if we put our trust in our resources. That's where the dangerous shift happens. Not when you're in need, but when you're not in need. When things are good, now you have a marriage, and you're like, man, I used to be lonely as a single person. Now I have a husband or a wife. Man, that's what I needed. Now I have this. And you're like, now you look to her or him for everything. And now then you start getting angry because they're not everything that you need them to be. And you start holding up unrealistic expectations for them. And then pretty soon, you know, you're discontent. And now you have this person, but you're discontent. Well, the problem was you put your contentment. You started to believe that this was your resource of contentment, this marriage or children. Oh, once I have children, it'll be okay. I'll be happy. I'll be this. I'll be that. When you're in need, you think that that's going to be what you need. But then you get a kid, and you have to change all these poopy diapers, and you got to, like, hear screaming and crying, and you get limited. You can't go places, and, hey, man, I'm not so content anymore. See, it matters that we learn how to be content when things are well, when we got plenty, and when we don't have anything. And this requires, when we're in plenty, it requires that we learn how to have a thankful heart, that we learn how to be thankful to what the Lord is doing, that we never disconnect from, man, the Lord did this. The Lord is providing this food. The Lord has given me this job. The Lord has given me this family. The Lord has given me. I praise the Lord. And that we would never forget to be thankful to the Lord. So Paul teaches us three things. We're going to go into them right now. Three things, three keys to unlocking the secret of contentment. The first key to unlocking the secret of contentment is this. We must know the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. We must know the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. I can do everything through who? Him. Now, let me say a few things about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is self-existent. I'll say it again. He is self-existent. No one made Jesus. No one created Jesus. He has always been. He always will be. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In him all things were made. Through him everything was made that has been made. In him is life, and that life is the light of men. He is always been. He has always been. He is self-existent. You know what else about Jesus? He is self-sufficient. Jesus has all ability and no need for anyone's help. I know we think, oh, he needs me for this ministry to go forward. He needs me for the work. He doesn't need us. He needs nothing. He needs no one. He is not in need because everything that he needs is within himself. He is self-sufficient. You want to know what else about the Lord? We need to know this, right? What else? He is all-sufficient. So every resource needed to do anything is at his fingertips. Because he has all resources. He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. He is the creator. He can create mountains. He can destroy mountains. He could create man out of dust. He can destroy whole cities with balls of fire coming from the sky. He doesn't need anybody. He's not looking for outside realities to work out. He has everything he needs within himself. He is all sufficient. And you know what else he is? He is eternal. He is eternal. He always has been, and he always will be. There is no beginning, and there is no end of Jesus. He is eternal. He crosses the span of the timeline. We are so limited with understanding. He's not limited to time and space. He is eternal now. It's not like he's waiting to continue to be eternal. He's in every reality all the time. I don't know if we could even grasp that. He's eternal. So we need to know the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. We need to know it.
Because we start limiting God, not intentionally, but inadvertently, we start limiting God. We put limitations on him. We put boundaries on him. And we do it, you know, legalistic people do it. Not legalistic people do it. Everybody, we're doing it. We're doing it all the time. We're putting limitations on the Lord. Man, he's out of that box. Whatever box you put him in, he's not in that box. And we need to remember that he is able. See, what we need is in the Lord. He says, through him, and that's talking about the resource of contentment. Our physical strength is in the Lord. Listen to me. Our emotional strength is in the Lord. Listen, our mental strength is in the Lord. You want mental health, you want wellness, then you ought to be preaching the gospel. You want a world changed around you with violence and evil, then you better preach the gospel. You better introduce them to Jesus, because he is the resource that will change a mental sickness of sin, that will change a sinful condition that leaves us emotionally messed up, that leaves us physically jacked up, that leaves us mentally messed up. Through him. What we need, so right now, you know, whenever we're in a circumstance, we're always like, I just need this. If he just say, I'm sorry. I just need this. If that job just came through. If the stimulus check would just get to my door already. Now, just trying to be real practical. Right? Then I'd be good. We need to remember what we need is in the Lord. It's in him. In him. You know, there was a bunch of people that went to a village, because in this village, people in this village were getting sick. They had a stream that ran through this village. The problem was with that stream is that a lot of diseases were filling that stream, because animals and humans were using the restroom in there. It was dirty. So people were getting so sick that people were dying. So a group of people decided they were going to go to this little town, and they were going to dig a well. They went to the town, they dug a well. They got down to the place where the resource of water was pure. And they tapped into that resource, and it changed that whole town. They had clean water. And no longer were they getting sick. No longer were they dying. No longer was their town shrinking, because they had a well. See, God is the well that we need to be drawing from. And the worst thing we could do is to let something else temporary in this world and finite, limited, become our source of contentment. The biggest trick of the enemy is to get you to lose your focus on Jesus. The biggest lie of the enemy is you need this. You need this. You know, out here. And we take it. You know, all the way back in the Garden of Eden, right? Looks at Eve and is like, look at that fruit. I know God said don't eat it, but that's your resource to be powerful. That's your resource to be like God. You need that. Take it. And she did. And no different is he working today in our lives, in our community, to get us to try to find everything we need in the wrong places. See, the world thinks what they need. I was talking yesterday at Overflow to a guy, and the guy was saying, man, we need programs, we need this, and we need this in this community. And he was like, what could we do? What could we do? And I looked at him and I said, we need to deal with the sin problem.
And we are talking, we need to deal with the sin problem. See, the sin problem's causing the murder. The sin problem's causing the violence. The sin problem's causing the hate. The sin problem's causing the division. The sin problem is causing all the things that we see in and around us. It's a sin problem. And the only solution is Jesus. And I'm looking at him and he's kind of stunned. And then he tries to talk about preachers. And so he goes into this long thing about preachers being hypocrites and driving all these nice cars and all this. And I'm like, that's true. There are some hypocrites out there. I'm not denying that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what Christ has told us in his word is the answer. It is Jesus Christ. He is the answer to this problem that we're looking at. And he got real quiet. He got real quiet. And we just were talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he's like, yeah, you're right. That's what we need. That's what we need. We need him. See, Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He said he learned the secret of contentment, that contentment was coming through the Lord's strength, not through circumstances changing. That contentment was coming through the Lord, not through opportunities, raises, or bonuses. That contentment was coming through the Lord, not through different environments, not through a better economy, not through a new person in power, not through a marriage, not through a divorce, not through a change of churches, not through a higher wage, a higher governmental check, not through a child, not through a different friend, more friends or no friends, not through education, not through corporate achievements, not through titles, promotions, and positions, not through those things, that contentment was in the Lord. So we need to know that. Just wanted you to know that. Paul wanted you to know that. God wanted you to know that. So the first thing is that we must know the sufficiency of Christ. He is more than enough of what we need. But nothing. But nothing. Second, we must trust in the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. So we must know the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. And we must trust in the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. He says, I can do everything through him. I can. That verb that expresses the faith one needs in order to have the strength one needs to be content always. To be content. I can versus I can't. See, I can't is a defeated statement. It's a defeated statement. It's a defeated position. I can't be happy because this. The I can't reality gives all the power to the opposition, gives all the power to the difficulty, gives all the power to the circumstance, gives all the power to that evil person around you. I can't be happy because I can't be content because. And in doing that, we are already inadvertently limiting God in our minds. See, I can is a statement of hope. I can is a statement of victory. I can is a statement of faith. See, church, our provision comes through the Lord. I know we think what we need. I know we think everything that we need comes through our own efforts and we think of the detail, my job and then my check, and then I pay my check and I put it in my bank account, and I pay these dollars to the grocery store, and I buy this food, and then this food is, and we give all the credit of what we need, the provision, to circumstantial realities. You know, I love when the Lord said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Our provision comes through the Lord. See, we do things backwards. Like the saying goes, we put the cart before the horse. Contentment starts with the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 4:13 through 14, it says this. Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty. He talks to this woman at the well, this woman who feels like she doesn't have anything. She's been jumping from one relationship to another. She's been giving her body away sexually. She has no value of self. He meets her at a well. He's meeting this Samaritan woman, a woman who was shunned, who came to this well in a time of the day. She was hoping not to be seen because she was living in such shame. He says this to her,
Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life.
Yeah, contentment starts with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not going to change circumstantial realities in our community, in our city, and in our world without the gospel.
Because he's the starting point and the end point. He is all of it. He's all sufficient.
Contentment continues through the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 says this: "So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now, much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." It is God who's at work in us. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. We need to not just come to Christ in faith. We need to continue to work out our faith in Christ. And working out our faith in Christ is that we continue to remain trusting in who he is, in what he is, in what he can do. That we don't lose sight of him, that we don't start giving all of our dependencies over to circumstantial realities in this world. So the first thing is we must know the sufficiency of Christ. The second thing is we must trust in the sufficiency of Christ. The third thing that we must do to unlock this key to contentment is this: we must depend on the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. He says, "I can do everything through him who gives me strength." Now, strength is a Greek word that means to put power in. Oh, I love that when you look at the words and it's like, dang, that's just so awesome. That word, man, to put power in. Anybody need some strength? Anybody feeling a little weak with your circumstance? Anybody feeling a little limited with some reality you're wrestling with? An inability to change a person's attitude, a person's love? Is any of us wrestling with this and we're letting it overwhelm us and we're letting it sit a seed of discontent in our heart? Man, we need God, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to put power in us. We need a strength that's greater than ourselves. God puts power in you and me. See, our strength comes from the Lord. He says, "Who gives me strength?" It's talking about plugging in to the power of God. You know, there was a missionary who was trying to, who got this car, and he, as he was a missionary, he lived up on a hill, so it worked really conveniently for him because the car had a problem starting. So every time when he would come home, he'd make sure he gets up to the top of the hill, he'd set it, put his emergency brake on, facing down the hill, and he would go home for the night. In the morning, he would pop that brake off. He would let the car start rolling down the hill, get some speed up, and then he would click the car in gear, and the car would start because it was getting some momentum, some energy, and it would help the car to start up. Well, after he was kind of done with the stint of his missionary time, he was about to leave his missionary appointment, and a guy came after him ready to take over where he left off, and he looked at the guy, and he said, "Here, I'm going to give you the car. It's just a piece of junk. It doesn't even start on its own. Here's what I've done every day. I've gone up the hill. I make sure I stop. I put the emergency brake on, and when I'm ready to go, I take it up to get enough momentum so that this car will turn over and start." And he says, "You know, so the car is yours." He leaves, and then the guy decides, "Well, let me just look under the hood. Let me just take a look under this car hood for a second." He opens the car hood up and looks inside and sees a simple problem. The car wires were not attached to the battery. He just didn't have the car hooked up right. It wasn't attached to the battery, and the battery is necessary to turn to turn over that engine so it would start. And so he was spending all this time doing it this hard way, making sure he organized all this stuff to make sure he landed his car just right so that the next day he could start it up, and all he had to do was plug it in. See, God puts power in us.
God gives us what we need to endure, to flourish, to do the work of the Lord in this world. God gives us that ability, but we need to look to Him and depend upon Him to be our resource. God will give us monetary needs to strengthen us. God gives us physical, psychological, and emotional strength. God gives us encouragement to strengthen us. God gives us what we need to do what He's called us to do. God gives us all those things. He is able to help us in all those areas that we're limiting Him from. So when things are out of control in our lives, what happens a lot of times is we become discontent. When we are not sufficient, we realize our lack of sufficiency, we get scared. When we feel weak, weakness is scary, isn't it? It's scary to feel powerless. When we get weak, when we feel our weakness, we get anxious. But, church, weakness is God's greatest tool to help us experience the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. Now listen to this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul was going through an issue. He had a difficult circumstance. Some people thought it was people. Some people think it was a physical ailment. But look what he says here. So to keep me from being conceited, he finally realized why God was doing it. Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, I will boast, this is his conclusion, all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness. He's content with weakness. Insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. See, church, we need to know what we can't do on our own strength before we can know what we can do through God's strength. Sometimes God just got to break us down a little bit to help us see how much we need Him. You know what an incubator does? Have you ever gone to the farm and you see this little incubator? If you go down to the Lincoln Park Zoo, the barn area, the one that has the, what do you call it? I'm a city boy. I don't even know. The farm area, it looks like a farm. It smells. Just go to the place that stinks. Inside there's like the little chickens. And they got this whole thing, these stages where they're first in eggs. And these eggs are in this incubator. It's this light that's on them, keeping them warm until they hatch. See, an incubator is an enclosed apparatus that provides a controlled environment of warmth that helps baby chickens develop inside an egg until they're ready to hatch. That's what an incubator does. You know what weakness is? It's an incubator. It's an incubator that develops us a dependency on God's strength. You want to know what God's doing? He's trying to help you develop Christ-like character. He's trying to help you develop how to learn to be content in Him. We keep looking at the circumstance, the things that are out of our control that we can't control. We're letting those things make us overwhelmingly anxious. We're looking at people that are just being evil around us, and we're letting them rob us of contentment. We're looking at hardships and difficulties and unknown realities, and we're letting ourselves live in fear and be consumed with it because we are focused on what we can't control. And God has us in this incubator. He has us in this place where He is developing us like a little chicken inside of an egg to be Christ-like, like He wants us to be. He's developing us and maturing us so that we can come out and hatch and shine and reveal to the world the great beauty of His creation. We're in the incubator. So let him work. Ephesians chapter 3:16 says this, I pray that out of the glorious riches that he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. Verse 20, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to the power that has worked within us.
Looking at that church of Ephesians, he's like in Ephesus, and he's like, man, there's a power that is at work. God's ready to do more than you could ever imagine. Don't limit him. You're in an incubator. He's doing a work. He's preparing you. He's working in you. There's something bigger he's doing to bring his name great glory and to help you accomplish. He's going to give you everything you need to accomplish what you need to go through. In the sorrow, in the difficulty, in the struggle, in the unknowns, in the difficult people, evil people, he's going to give you everything you need because he is what you need. And if you focus on him and look to him and learn to trust in him and learn to depend on him, you will be able to be content no matter what the circumstance. So I want to ask, are you aware of the sufficiency of Christ Jesus? Is your awareness of his sufficiency overwhelming your reality? Are you trusting in God's plan and God's timing, God's sufficiency, that he has a perfect plan and he's doing things in a perfect timing? Trust that he's doing a work while you're in the incubator. Are you trusting in his sufficiency? Are you depending on Christ's sufficiency for strength, the strength you need, for the contentment you need right where you're at? Maybe today you're struggling to believe in the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. Maybe that's real. Maybe today you're struggling to trust in the plan of God. Maybe you're struggling to trust in the timeline of God because it's hard. You're struggling today. You're struggling to trust in the circumstance that he has a plan for it. Or maybe today you're struggling to depend on the sufficiency of God, on his strength, while you're experiencing your weakness. I'm not good enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not fast enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not good enough. But God's good enough. God's strong enough. God's fast enough. God's able enough. God's sufficient. He is sufficient. And even though my weakness is on display, what else is on display is God's strength. If I depend on him. Because as contentment reigns, listen, as contentment reigns, it reveals the strength of the Lord. It reveals the power and sufficiency of the Lord. In your difficulty, in your struggle, how in the world can you be content? That's what the world will ask you. Because of Jesus. Now, here's what we're going to do to close this passage today. We're going to own this verse. We're going to own verse 13 today together. So I want you to do something. We're going to do this together. We're going to read this verse as a declaration of ownership, of belief. We're going to own it. And the way we're going to do this is we're going to read this verse by adding only one word at a time. This has been helpful for me. I've used this strategy in difficult times in order to bring my focus back and bring my faith back in the Lord, bring my dependency back to the Lord. And so we're going to add, and we're going to read it together like, I can do. We're going to do that. And we're going to read this verse, but I want you to think for just a second about that thing you wrote down when we started this sermon. That area that's bringing discontent, that person that's bringing discontent, that circumstance is bringing discontent, that area you can't control, I want you to think about that. And then in faith, declare this statement. So let's do this together. It's going to be up here on your screen. And we're going to add one word at a time. Everybody together, say it. I. Okay, I can. I can do. I can do all. I can do all things.
I can do all things through.
I can do all things through God.
I can do all things through God who.
I can do all things through God who strengthens.
I can do all things through God who strengthens me.
See, the enemy is a liar. His statement would be, I can't do anything because I have nothing to strengthen me. And God says you can do all things through him who strengthens you. And I don't know what limitation, what person, what circumstance you might be putting on God. He's not in that box. He's not in that box. And fear doesn't have to reign in us. Anxiety doesn't have to rule us. But the strength of the Lord can give us contentment no matter what we are going through. Good times, bad times, difficult times, and we will have them. So let's learn the secret. Let's practice trusting in the Lord, knowing the sufficiency of Christ, trusting the sufficiency of Christ, depending on the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. And you can use this word that's from God to help remind you to do so. Will you close your eyes today? Bow your head and close your eyes. Does everybody